1 Timothy 1. We'll read down through verse 8. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, we ought to underline that phrase, first of all. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as we take a few minutes tonight and look first of all through the Scripture, and then we present a little bit about the ministry, Lord, the year's theme, what you have laid upon my heart, Lord, for us to do, maybe to help us in this matter of strengthening our prayer life, and therefore, Lord, through that, strengthening this ministry. I pray that you would, Lord, just speak to each of our hearts. Lord, I don't want to talk anybody into anything. I really want, Holy Spirit of God, for you to do a work in all of our hearts. Because I'm going to talk about something that I think every person in here that's been saved for any amount of time believes anyway. Sometimes, Lord, what we believe in our head and in our heart and what we do with that belief, Lord, there's some distance, some separation there. I pray that you would help us to close the gap on that. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I called Mrs. Fulkerson and inquired about her health. Spent a few minutes trying to be an encouragement to her. I try to keep our shut-ins from time to time updated on what's going on here at the church when they are not able to be here. And so I said, let me tell you about the theme and let me tell you about what I'm going to present a little bit. And she said this to me. She said, Brother Jerry, thank you. She said, all of us get lax in our prayer life from time to time. All of us get lax in our prayer life. And you know what I had to say to that? Amen. Amen. And so from time to time, we all need to have that thing shook up a little bit. We need to say, you know what, Lord, what can I do, or how can I do it better? Lord, how can I better align myself with the Scriptures here? We've chosen this 2008, and we're going to be there in just a day, folks. 2008 is upon us. We've designated this, chosen as the theme, the year of prayer. The year of prayer. Can I teach the Bible for a few minutes? Let's begin in verse 1. I want to walk down through these 8 verses. And of course, in no way will we give an in-depth study, but I want to talk through these verses with you. And then I want to present to you what we're going to begin. Let me say this. All that we're going to do in this matter of prayer is not going to be presented tonight. As a matter of fact, volume-wise, we're going to just give you the beginnings. What I want to do is this. I want to, every single month, we will be, beginning of each month, 12 different services, we're going to introduce another aspect of prayer, and another aspect of the prayer of our prayer lives that we can increase, or that I'm going to encourage you to either start or take to a new level. I'm going to begin, and I'm calling tonight's message, Men and Prayer. Men and Prayer. And I will tell you this up front. My goal for January is very simple. Now, we're going to have a couple things going on that's going to be inclusive as far as the church. But I will tell you this. My goal for January is to get our men to begin to pray like they've never prayed before. I'm being upfront with you. I'm telling you right off the bat, men, this is our month. This is starting where we ought to start. This is starting with who we ought to start with. Men, we are being called upon in this portion of Scripture to pray. We're being called upon to pray. And so stay with me as we go through this, and we'll eventually get to verse 8 where we see that, but I want to go down through this. First of all, in verse number 4, we see several things, or I'm sorry, verse number 1, we see some things introduced about prayer. We see four facets of prayer, if you'll let me say this. But first, let me say this. In chapter 2, verse number 1, the first truth we come upon is this. Prayer is priority one. Prayer is priority one. Brother Jerry, I thought we were in an independent fundamental Baptist church. I thought it was always soul winning. Folks, you go soul winning without prayer, good luck with that. I thought missions were number one. You try to support missions without prayer, good luck with that. The Bible says this, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, this is the first job. This is the starting point. If this isn't done, everything else that follows suffers. Everything else is hindered. Nothing produces as it's supposed to produce and accomplishes what it's supposed to accomplish. If we skip over prayer, we've skipped over the power of Almighty God upon everything else that we do. So God says this, I exhort therefore that first of all, prayer is priority one. Then we're giving the four facets of prayer. I'm not going to go into those tonight deeply, but let me just quickly explain. God wants us to be involved in supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. And all of those are aspects of prayer. Supplication, by the way, to supplicate means to entreat, to beseech, to implore, to present a petition with earnestness and humility. Supplication, folks, is a huge step above, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and I should die before I awake. It's a huge step above that. See, supplication is talking about earnestly, sincerely, with humility and fervency, presenting petitions before Almighty God. Prayers is the next thing that's identified. And prayer simply means requests, or what we're asking. And what's fascinating about this, and we'll develop this down the road, but folks, when you study this word, it's always connected with worship. Part of the definition is connected with worship. Can I give you this? Prayer is petitions made while worshiping. Petitions made while worshiping. And we're going to do a lot of teaching this year on prayer, and I'll develop that later. But let me just say this, folks. God's not your little servant boy that anytime you ring the bell, he's supposed to run over, salute you, and say, yes, sir, what can I do for you today? And the way we ask and demand things from God sometimes is absolutely irreverent. If we don't have the time to worship, then we don't have the time to ask. You know, we're not the boss. He is. Let me say it again. If you're asking absent of worship, shame on you. We don't have time to worship. We don't have time to ask. Isn't that good? And that's what prayers is. Now, intercessions, very important. I'm going to give you an example of it. Intercessions means to move between. Literally means to move between. To act between parties, two parties, with a view to reconcile those who differ or are in contention. Do you understand what that means? Sometimes we say, well, I'm interceding for you. I'd say, Brother Boaz, I'm interceding for you in this matter of your health. No, I'm not. I'm supplicating. Because you know what? I'm praying, and so is he. I'm joining him in prayers over something. Intercession is when you know what intercession is? Intercession is Abraham saying, or God saying to Abraham, shall we hide this thing what we're going to do from Abraham? We're going to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah and we're going to blow it to smithereens. And Abraham says, wait a minute. Lord, can I ask you just a quick question? There be 50 righteous men? Listen, there was an ought, there was a contention between God and Sodom and Gomorrah. There was an ought, a contention between God and Lot. And somebody, Lot wasn't praying for Sodom, somebody had to intercede. Somebody had to step in. And folks, every one of us ought to be interceding for people right now that are not on praying ground with God. We're talking about lost people. We need to intercede. They certainly aren't on praying ground. We're talking about backslidden people. We ought to be interceding. We ought to be standing between, going between those two parties. Interceding. And then, of course, number five, we talked so much about this in the month of December, and we heard it today, giving thanks. Giving up thanks. Now, so first of all, we are introduced to the four facets of prayer in verse number one. Now, second of all, notice this. I've got to just go ahead and give you this one little phrase here because it's unbelievable. But look at the last phrase in verse one. I know they're going to get more specific in verse two, but it says, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving up thanks be made for who? Now, let me tell you what that all men means. The word men in that verse, and by the way, if you'll go down to verse number 8, I will therefore that men, those are two different words. The first word's talking about all mankind. That's 6.5 billion people. I don't have anything to pray about. If you do. I think that's a lot of praying before we obey that verse. Now, let that settle in on you a second. You know what God expects from the church? That all men be prayed for. Can I say this? Every person in the world needs somebody praying for them. You know when we are guilty of prayerlessness, we're guilty of not helping to... It's not that... Folks, listen, I'm not going to pass you out of a prayer list of 6.5 billion names on it. But the honest truth is, Brother Joe, if all of us really were praying, if every Christian really prayed, most people would have somebody calling out their name to God. I got to think about this, and maybe we'll develop this. I was on the platform just now thinking about this, about how do you pray for 6.5 billion people? And I thought, you know what? I don't know their names, but what if somebody, what if a bunch of us just decided, I'm going to adopt a country and I'm going to get a big map of that country and I'm going to spend a little time every day putting my hand on the cities of that nation and interceding and crying out to God. I wonder what would happen in the world if we took what we read and really did it. If somehow we decided our job is to pray for all men. All men deserve to be prayed for. Okay, now let's move on. For all men. You know, we think about this, going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We talk about gospel saturation. Well, God also, the same one that commanded gospel saturation, is commanding prayer saturation. Maybe if we did the prayer saturation, we'd get the gospel saturation thing done. Amen. Now, verse number two. Let's talk about those in authority. Then God gets specific and says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Let me just say a couple words about this. We should pray for all those in authority. We should pray for those in authority in our nation, our state, our community, our churches, our school, our home. Let me say this to a young person, an adult. Everybody in your life that's in some position of authority over you, you should pray for regularly. All the way from the President of the United States all the way down to your boss at work, the foreman above you at the plant. Every young person in here should be praying for every single in their life that's in authority. Every person in their life that's in authority. That's from the President of the United States all the way down to the monitor that takes you out to break. Once again, we decide we're just going to obey the Bible. Our attitude would change towards authority because instead of sitting around figuring out why we're mad at them or why we don't want to listen to them, we'd be on our knees praying for them. You think about that? And God says we ought to. Why? And the result is this. that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. And I love this next verse, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Father. Can I tell you what? Jesus Christ in heaven would like to look down and see a peaceful earth. God's not for war. God's not for conflict. He's not. And you know, most things in life, conflict-type situations in life would be resolved if we had learned to pray for those in authority instead of criticize those in authority. It'd be resolved. And that's very pleasing to God. I'm moving quickly. Verse 4. We should then pray for those that are unsaved. Look at verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of truth. Now listen, folks. We ought to pray for the unsaved. That's the part, and I say, I know that, Brother Joe, that's a no-brainer, but sometimes we just need to see that it's in the Scriptures too. Who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of truth. There is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is our acting mediator. Not only that, the verses teach us He was the ransom Christ paid. He calls also, and I love this, all these verses are connected together. Verse 7, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ, and I am not a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Jesus Christ acts as the mediator. He paid the ransom price, and He calls and ordains certain men to full time get the gospel to the lost. That's how concerned He is about the unsaved, so we need to pray about that. Now, I hurried through those 7 verses because I want to get to verse 8. In verse 8, I look at verse 8 and I would entitle this verse, The Plea for Praying Men. Now, like I said a minute ago, if you put your finger on the word men at the end of verse 1, that's mankind. If you'll go ahead and study this out, and by the way, you don't necessarily need the Greek here to understand this. The Greek would back this up. But even in the context of this, we understand that this is talking to men. In the masculine sense, not mankind, but men. How do you know that, Brother Jerry? Because verse 8 says, I will therefore that men pray. Verse 9 says, in like manner also that women. And so verse 8 is directed to men. Verse 9 and on down to women. And so men, listen to me, this matter of prayer and this plea, it's for praying men. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And so as we kick off this 2008 year and we adopt this theme for the year of prayer, what we want and what we're going to start with is the first of all group, and that first of all group is men. Men. Let me tell you that includes young men. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm 100% sold on this. But there's 3 phases in the Bible to development, not 5. In the Bible, you'll see the group children identified. Then you'll see young men. Then you'll see aged men. You don't see children, teens, young adults, middle-aged, senior citizens. So when I talk about men, I want you young men to sit up and square your shoulders up and listen. I'm talking about kids that are 12 years old. Guess what? It's time to stop being a kid. I'm talking about kids that are 13 years old. You know what? It's time to stop playing kid games. Stop being a goofball. It's time to start lining yourself up with men in the church. Learning from men in the church. Being a man yourself. Now I know it doesn't happen overnight. But you need to start the process of maturation. Now, I'm talking about 12-year-old young men saying, it's time for me to lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting and learn to pray. I'm talking about 14-year-old young men. I didn't say boys, I said young men. I'm talking about 16-year-old young men say, you know what? Stop showing up, sitting in the back of some Sunday school class and being a goofball. It's time for me to get on board, become a man in this church and lift up holy hands and begin to pray. Begin to pray. You see, God is given a plea for men. This is for men, not mankind. This is very specific. This is a masculine reference. Now, ladies, don't think that I'm not going to eventually get to you. Nor do you ought you to think that your prayers are less valuable. But let me say, we are starting where we have to start. We're starting where the Bible starts. Children, let me just say this. I'm not discounting the importance of the prayers of children. And I'm going to enlist your prayer help and prayer support. But folks, that's secondary. Number one, we have to have men that will pray. Men, we are to take the leadership in the church when it comes to this matter of prayer. We need to step up. We need to say this is what God's called us to do. This is one of those primary areas that we cannot fail in. So this is a plea for men, not mankind. In the verse also, you'll notice this is a plea that we learn to pray everywhere. Gentlemen, look up here and let me help you. We need to get to the point where we're comfortable praying wherever prayer is needed. You know why men don't pray? I'm going to tell you. I am one, so I know men pretty well. You know why men don't pray? Pride. No, really, there's no other excuse. No, there's other things. But the foundational reason is pride. Somebody comes to you and says, could we pray? And the first thing we think is, well, where can we go? Because you have to hide when you pray. The Bible says men should pray everywhere. But if I'm standing out here in the auditorium and someone wants me to pray with them, what if people look at me? Well, that would be an odd thing. I mean, yeah, we wouldn't want to start stuff like that in the church. We need to designate a prayer room somewhere where we can hide people so that no one will see them praying and they won't be embarrassed. Why are we embarrassed to pray? Excuse me, why are we embarrassed to pray? We should not be. We ought to be willing to pray everywhere. Be willing to pray at the workplace. Be willing to pray with our family. Be willing to pray with our wives. Be willing to pray with our children. Be willing to stop a brother in the foyer that's having a hard time. So let's pray. And folks, this is what we have been challenged to do by the Lord. So it's a plea for men, not mankind. It's a plea that we learn to pray everywhere, that we make prayer just a normal part. I mean, it's as normal as breathing. It's what we do. It's what's expected of us. And every man who incorporates and begins to use and practice boldness in his prayer life is an example to every young man in this church. Would to God we had visitors walk into Blessed Hope Baptist Church before church started. They're looking around going, what's going on? Look at those two. Look at those two. What's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. This is a house of prayer. That's what's going on. This has become a house of prayer. Brother Jerry, where's the designated prayer area? Everywhere. Everywhere. On the front step, that'd be a good place. It'd be sad if the preacher, it'd be a terrible thing. I looked out there and I had to go out there in the parking lot, just on the edge of the light and break up a group of teenagers who were out there praying. By the way, that shouldn't be unusual. It shouldn't be unusual. It shouldn't be a matter of where can I go sneak to do wrong. It ought to be, where can we get alone? Maybe, hey, you know what? This is happening in this brother's life. This happened in this friend. Hey, you know what? You can, if you want to, sit around and talk about them. Or you could go find them and go pray with them. Amen? A house of prayer. So this is a plea for men, not mankind. This is a plea that we learn to pray everywhere. This is a plea, gentlemen, for holiness. Holiness. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. And I addressed this morning, so I'm not going to re-preach it all, but let me just say this. The number one hindrance, And the number one reason that we as a collective group don't pray is sinfulness, unconfessed sin in our lives. And if we do pray with unconfessed sin, let me share this, that iniquity stands between us and the Lord. That's as solid as a Bible doctrine, Bible principle as anything you'll ever find in the Bible. You say, Brother Jerry, I'm so imperfect. So am I. But you know what? We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And you can stay on praying ground. You can be less than perfect and stay on praying ground. You can have a bad day and still be able to finish the day with prayer victory. But you have to be willing to humble your heart and say, God, before I pray, I need to ask you to forgive me. You see. Holy hands. Number four, this is a plea for... Let me just give you this thought, and I'm going to probably, unless the Lord changes my mind, one of the nights that I preach on the enemies of the family in this next month of January. There's so many enemies, what do you do? And I gave Brother Dan one of the Sunday nights, the rascal. So three messages. Well, how do you just pick three enemies of the family? But one of them, and this may shock you, one of the worst enemies of the family is anger. That's why the Bible says here, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. This is a plea for even-tempered men of faith. Even-tempered men of faith. And so, gentlemen, my plea tonight is a simple one. We need to begin to pray. Now, Brother Jerry, give me some specifics. We're going to. Let's talk about this matter of what we're going to do. In 2008, what are we going to do, especially in this month of January? Men, January's goal, my goal in January, the burden God's put upon my heart, is to recruit men to pray. To recruit men to pray. I'm going to start next Sunday. We're going to start what I'm calling the pastor's prayer team. This is a men's group. And by the way, what did I say? There's children, there's young men, and there's... That's right. If you're 12 and you want to be a part of this, and you're willing to be taught, mentored, by praying men, and you're willing to take this serious, I would count you as a valuable member of the pastor's prayer team. I'm going to start the pastor's prayer team. Say, who do you want to join this? I want to recruit every single man at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm not going to beg. I'm not going to plea. I'm not going to badger. I'm going to have a meeting next Sunday night at 6 o'clock. And if you want to be a part of this and you're a man, come be a part of it. If you don't be a part of it, if you don't come be a part of it, the preacher's not going to spend the rest of the year beating you over the head with it. Because you know who I want? I want men that want to pray. See, Brother Jerry, I don't even know how to pray. I didn't say you don't have to know how. I said, you want to pray. I'm not very good at it. You have to be good at it. You want to pray. Brother Jerry, I've tried different... I'm just saying, do you want to pray? Because we're going to start the pastor's prayer team. I'm going to meet at 6 o'clock next Sunday night. Any man in the church that wants to be a part of this, you can come and join this. You know why? Because I need you to pray. I need you to pray for your pastor. I need to help you to learn to make prayer a priority in your life. And I promise you this, I don't care where you're at in your prayer life, whether you say, Brother Jerry, honest truth is it's non-existent, or it's here, or it's there, it's wherever, you'll be helped. And if you have to start from zero, you know what? You'll be helped with patience. You won't be looked down upon. And I think that you'll be involved in something that for the first time truly energizes and helps you in this matter of prayer. Okay? I give you this. I'm going to that to Brother Jerry, wait a minute. I'd like to know what's going to happen in that meeting. You know, Baptists, we're nervous by nature. So I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in that meeting so that you'll know whether or not you want to come. What's going to happen at that meeting? I'm going to ask you in that meeting to make a commitment to United Prayer. A commitment. And if you come to the meeting and decide you don't want to join the pastor's prayer team after being in the meeting, that's fine. No problem. That doesn't mean I don't think you're praying. You might just do it a different way or do it a different time. But I want men that will be a part of this. I'll be meeting 6 o'clock next Sunday night for those interested in participating. It's a ministry. This is a new and unique prayer ministry. Now, if you choose to come and you choose to join, what I'll be doing is this. I'm going to pair you up every month. By the way, I'll pair you up a month at a time. And then at the end of every month, we'll rotate them and switch them around. I'm going to pair you up for 1 month with another man. And you two will be, for that month, prayer partners. Prayer partners. Okay? And what are we going to do then as prayer partners? I'm going to ask you during the month of January to meet with your prayer partner either before or after every service here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, Brother Reiser, would you come on up here? I'm going to show you, and we didn't practice rehearse this. He didn't know I was going to do this, but I said, well, Brother Jerry, what do you mean? I mean, I can't get here but real early. Now listen, folks. Do we want to make excuses or do we want to learn to pray? Do we want to decide why we can or do we want to decide we're supposed to? So I'll direct the conversation because we didn't practice this, but let's say we're prayer partners and it's quarter till and the service is going to start in 15 minutes. Like, hey, Brother Wright, how are you doing?
Good.
And you got a few minutes to pray?
Yes, sir.
What's going on? And how's the lift today? Is she feeling any better?
A
little bit better. I've been praying for her. Any special needs you have? Anything you know going on?
Yes, sir. Family issues with the family, trying to sell our house, things like that.
All right. Okay. I appreciate that. You know, there's folks who are still trying to run it better. And listen, can I bellyache? My back's killing me. Would you pray especially just the next couple minutes for that? And also, of course, we've got to listen all of that. But whatever the Lord lays on our hearts, let's do this. I'll tell you what, I'll lead us this time in prayer. Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you for Brother Rice. Thank you that throughout the week he's praying for me. And thank you for the privilege of praying for him and his family during this month. And Lord, I do pray for his house to sell. I do pray for issues he has in his family life. But listen, Lord, she's been awfully sick. And thank you for protecting her, protecting the baby. I pray, Lord, that you'd help her get over the hump on this sickness, that she'd feel better. Lord, protect his children. Lord, we want to pray for our preacher, Lord. We want to pray for the ministries of Blessed Hope. We do want to pray for Mrs. Fulkerson, Lord. And I do ask for healing and help, Lord, on my back. And Lord, just thank you for our church. And thank you for the privilege of being here. We pray that even in the service that's about to start, God, that your power would be there. And Lord, that you'd see maybe someone that needs to be saved or someone that needs to make a decision. Lord, bless them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks a lot. Right. And the next time we meet, say amen. You lead us in prayer. Now, folks, you know what that is? That's being a Christian. That ought to be normal. That ought not to be awkward. You say, Brother Jerry, but I'm not used to that. I know anything you do for the first time, you're not used to, but that's called praying. It's called praying. Now, here's the thing. You think of the 50 men that we have in this church, paired up in 25 groups, and somewhere before or after every single service that happens here, they meet somewhere in the foyer or somewhere in the auditorium or somewhere, get together outside, wherever they happen to hook up. And they take 4 or 5 minutes and sincerely share their heart's burdens or anything that's come up and pray for each other and pray for each other's family and pray for the preacher and pray for the service, pray for the empowering of God upon what's going to happen. maybe some emergency things that have come up, throw those in real quick. And I'm not talking about meeting and taking 25 or 30 or 40 minutes of praying. Folks, listen, I'm not being critical of that, but let me just say this. Let's just start with what I've asked you to do. Amen? And let's pray. So I'm going to pair you up, and then at the end of January, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to rotate it all around, and you'll have a brand new prayer partner for February, and then you'll have a brand new one for March. You know what that does? That helps us. It helps us not to get in cliques. It helps us not to just get focused on one family or one group of people. It helps us to get to know our brothers in Christ. When you pray somebody with somebody regularly for a month, let me tell you something. You're going to have a heart for them. You're going to have a heart for their family. And you're going to have a little bit more of understanding about some of the things that make them tick and some of the struggles that they face. And let me tell you, prayer always builds unity amongst God's people. That's why we say that, you know, the church that prays together stays together. The family that prays together stays together. Okay, so I'm going to pair you up. For those who join the pastor's prayer team, I will be telling you this, that I'm going to choose 6 men out of that group. And we will change these every month. But I'm going to choose 6 men every month out of that group of men. 6 men. And this is what I'm going to ask that you do. I'm going to ask that 6 men meet me about 5 or 6 minutes before every single service here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church back here in the conference room. And I'm asking you to meet me for one reason. I'm asking you to pray for me. We won't be sharing family requests. We won't be sharing church prayer requests. We won't be sharing anything. You know why you're there? You're there to take a few minutes before Pastor Jerry walks in here and conducts a sermon service and preaches the Word of God. I need men that will surround me and lift up their voice and pray for their preacher. Pray for their preacher. So I'm going to ask that you do that for a month. And into the month of January, I'll say thank you, men, and I'll choose 6 more. And the next month, I'll choose 6 more. And the next month, I'll choose 6 more. But I'll choose those out of those that join the pastor's prayer team. I'm going to give you this also. I will also ask if you're going to join this. And by the way, I understand that it's going to be totally up to you and it's totally up to your availability, and there'll be times it's an impossibility. But I'll also ask you, as you are available, to meet me from time to time for special emergency prayer meetings. Now, Brother Eric, you're a fireman. Am I, and correct me, feel free to correct me, because I don't understand all the terminology, but I've heard the phrase 3-alarm fire. Do they use that around here? What would be the thing that they call it where, buddy, every unit's gone out, paramedics, every truck, this is the biggest of the biggest of the biggest, that alarm goes off. What is that called? A 5-alarm fire. Folks, could I tell you something? Over the course of 2008, we're going to have some 5-alarm fires. Now, Brother Eric, 5-alarm fire went off right now. You got a call, you got paged right now, and it was that big of a deal. Anybody that's in the volunteer fire department, whether they're sitting in church or not, and folks, you can agree or not agree with this, but there's some people that just are on 24/7 call. And by the way, if it was your house, you'd want them to leave the service. Okay? No, some of you are saying, no, I wouldn't. I want the insurance. Some of you would tackle him if he was trying to leave the service. Honestly, this may happen once a year, it may happen twice a year, it may happen no. You know, it'd be nice if it didn't happen at all this year. But there may be a time where I put out an all points bulletin alert where I say, and by the way, this will go out to men. Ladies, don't get mad at me. We're going to get to you. We've got all of February to work on you, amen? But there may be a time where I say, I need as many of you men as possible to meet me in the emergency waiting room at Union Hospital. And if you're at work, I understand it. If you can't, I understand it. I honestly do. I understand anytime we have this type of situation, not everybody's going to be able to go. But if you're available, I need you there. If you're available, I need you there. Folks, there's going to be those type of situations. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to contact members of the pastor's prayer team. Now, if you don't join the pastor's prayer team, I'm not mad at you. But I'm also not going to call you. See, folks, what we want is we want friends' involvement with no commitment at our convenience. Join and become a part of this. Or don't join, and that's fine, but don't gripe about it. Yeah, that's your choices. But there's times, when you talk to this man up here, there's times where you need not just prayer chain. You need a group of men on location praying. You need a group of men on location praying. And so that's the basis, the essence of this. Let me say this also. This ministry will grow. I'm not going to say that's the only three things that we'll do, but that's going to be the primary purpose of this. And every month we will meet together, and every month we'll reorganize the prayer teams, and every month we'll introduce some new things and help you in this matter of prayer in your own private life. But men, this is not a ministry that I will hand over to a ministry director. I am the ministry director and will continue and forever be the ministry director of the pastor's prayer partners. You know why? Because this is the first of all thing. First of all thing. Okay? Now, let me give you two more quick things. Men, January's goal is to recruit men, and we're going to do that by starting the pastor's prayer team. So that's what we're doing right away. And we'll give you all that information next Sunday night. Number two, by the way, we won't have choir next Sunday night at 6 o'clock, okay? We'll give you 3 weeks off, amen? All right. Number two, let me just say a word quickly about our prayer greeters. I asked Brother Reiser and Sister Alyssa to be the first inaugural prayer greeters ever at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. They were kind enough to help me out. What I want to do and what we'll continue to do is that at the beginning of every single service, there will be that podium. It's on rollers. We're going to keep it in the coat area. We'll roll it out. We will be there, and as you walk in the door, you're going to have an opportunity. You're going to be greeted by someone that's got one of those fancy blue buttons. That's how you'll know who the prayer greeters are, because it's going to rotate. And they should be standing there by that desk. Let me say this as a matter of instruction. I need them to be there for the purpose of taking prayer requests. So do not engage them in conversation and take all of their time where there's people coming into church and you're occupying them with something other than a prayer request. Talk to them after church. I need them to do the job that they're given to do. Let me say this. We need help here. This will be, for some of you, a great opportunity. This, for some of you already, there's a light going on and you're saying, you know what, Pastor Gary? Not only can I do that, I want to do that. That's something I can do for the Lord. And if you feel that way, what I'd like you to do is to tell either Rebecca or my wife Cheryl, because if you tell me, I'll remember for about 4.3 seconds. That's about what I figured out the math on that, 4.3 seconds. That's it. And so you tell one of those two, and they'll give me a list, and we will get you in the rotation. And this is a great way to serve the Lord and a great way to serve your brothers and sisters in Christ. All I ask is this. Please write legibly. I'm kind of disqualified from ever being this, because if any of you have ever seen the way I write, you understand I could not be a prayer greeter. Now, if you want to be gentlemen, then what you ought to do is probably volunteer and then bring your wife. And you listen and you tell her, write that down. And that'd be a great way. A great way to serve the Lord, you know. I don't know. But I'm excited about this. At the beginning of every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, at announcement time, when we stand to pray as a church, by that time, those things will be in my hand, and we will pray for those requests. Now, let me tell you how this is going to work. The prayer greeters will be in the foyer at the beginning of every service. They'll gather any prayer requests you may have. Then they'll be given to me, and by announcement time, they'll be prayed for in the service by the pastor and by everybody else that's listening. And I pray that you learn to not just listen to pray, but to pray when somebody prays. Amen. I mean, what we're going for, folks, is the house of God becoming a house of prayer. And so it gives us a chance for, on a night like that, I don't know, I guesstimate we have about 150 people in the auditorium, that if you turn in a request, not only will I pray for it, but you'll have 150 people lift up their voice and pray for that request in that very service. When I get done, I'll hand those back to Brother Reiser, get them back to Brother Reiser. He's going to, by the way, there won't be anybody out of the service during preaching doing any of this. But in a timely fashion, he's going to assign somebody that can do this quickly to type these requests up. By the way, they'll be available two times at the end of Sunday. They won't be available after Sunday morning. We'll take everything turned in Sunday morning and Sunday night, and Sunday night on the way out, you'll have all of the prayer requests that were turned in Sunday, and you'll get a copy of those. Again, on Wednesday night, you'll get all the prayer requests that are turned in. You'll get a copy of those when you leave on Wednesday night. So two different times you're going to get up-to-the-date prayer requests. Now, let me say this about it. This will not be an accumulative list. Okay? So if you have given that prayer request tonight, we prayed for it. We're going to send it home with everybody. And Wednesday, if you want to on here again, you have to turn it in again. And let me tell you, there's several reasons why. First of all, and this is what I enjoy, I want to teach you importunity. So many times, I'm sorry folks, but the honest truth is, it's just too easy. We want something on a permanent piece of paper that never moves. But if you're not concerned enough to keep bringing it up, then I'm not concerned enough to pray for it. And God's not concerned enough to answer. I can show you that in the Scripture. And it may be something that you don't feel like needs to be given every service. You know the folks are praying, but you know what? Maybe once a month or once every two or three weeks, you want a prayer reminder for an ongoing situation. That's fine. It may be something where you say, Brother Jerry, this is serious and it needs to be resolved, and I'm just going to turn it in. I don't care what you, whatever the Lord leads you, you turn it in and we'll pray. And we'll give it on the list. But it's not going to accumulate. Every single service, it starts over. Every Sunday morning, it starts over. Every Wednesday night, it starts over. And did you notice how many of the requests turned in were things that happened either today or in the last day or so? And a lot of times, that's the advantage of this, is being able to get to you prayer requests that just happened in the last few days, situations that we need to pray for, okay? For those of you that would like, and again, please turn this in, written down on a piece of paper to either my wife or Rebecca. This will be an advantage to some of you. I'll probably sign up for this. This is going to seem crazy, but I'll sign up for it. If you say, Brother Jerry, I'm the worst person in the world, I'm not a piece of paper person, could you email me that typed list at the end of every service? And by the way, all you'll have to do is turn your email in once, and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night, or I should say this, by Monday morning or Thursday morning, you'll receive an email with an updated list. I see Brother Joe shaking his head. It's going to be a great help to him. It's going to be a great help to some of our shut-ins. It's great help to some of our college students. It'd be great help to some of you that are just, you know what, if you take a piece of paper, you're going to lose it before you get the car, but you know what, you work in an office situation or you're a computer person, and you know what, if you get that email twice a week and that list come up, you know what, Brother Jerry, I'll put that up on my screen, I'll print that out, I'll tack that somewhere, and that's my best way of getting this done. So that's available, okay? If you'd like to have it emailed to you, we'll update that and email that by every Monday morning, every Wednesday morning, we'll send that to you. Number seven, you may also, this is important too. I pray we'll do this. You may also turn in your praise reports for answered prayer at the prayer greeter's desk before each service. Now, this is going to be one of the most enjoyable parts of this entire ministry. is not when the preacher gets up here and says, folks, we've got 7 prayer requests. But when I can get up here and say, listen, before I get up to prayer requests, some of you have been praying over situations. Here's 3 praise reports. Here's 3 answered to prayer, and they want to share that. And by the way, folks, listen to me. If you're going to ask for prayer, then when God answers that prayer, He deserves public praise for it. If you are asking for public prayer, then when God performs, He deserves public praise. And that's, isn't that fair? That's also biblical. And so what a great opportunity. And so prayer creators, you're going to have an interesting job. There's going to be times when you're writing down things that's going to break your heart. And then there's going to be times when you're writing down things where you're going to want to skip and shout and praise God because you're going to see this happen. And folks, since we're keeping it before the church, we're all going to see it happen. I'm going to get you out 2 hours and 58 minutes earlier than you would have got. Brother Eric, I need you and maybe 2 more ushers. The last thing I want to give you and present to you tonight is this. And this is for every adult and every teenager. It's for every young man and every young lady. If you're 12 years old or older, I want you to have one of these. And by the way, parents, let me say this. I do want the children to have them if they'll use them. They will be available for your children that are younger than 12 at your request. But what I'm going to give you is something that we put together. It's a half page. It's on cardstock and it's been laminated. This is something that will endure. Some things start over. Like I said, our one list is not accumulative. Some things start over. That list will start over every service. But there are some things at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. There are people, ministries, and people that direct those ministries that need to be prayed for on a regular basis. I want to give you one of these, and this is what I'm going to ask. And by the way, you follow God's direction. But if you would do one thing for your preacher, and you didn't get involved in anything else that we're doing this year, if you would take this right here, and you would say, Brother Jerry, every day of 2008, I will front and back take the time to call out these ministries and these people that are involved in these ministries in prayer. Now, let me just tell you this. It's not an all-inclusive list. It is ministries and the leaders of those ministries. For instance, I have here on the bus route, so let me get my glasses out. Praise God for glasses. Amen. Bus captains, Jasonville, Randy Beller, Linton, John Reiser, Duggar, Bo Eichelman, Shelburne, Michael Ross, Worthington, Greg Vircha. I know that there's more people than that on that route. But what I want to try to get you to do is this. Folks, pray for leadership. Pray for leadership. Pray for leadership. Now, if you want to pray for other people that you know is involved in that ministry, you do whatever God tells you to do. But I promise you, this will help you. What this has is, first of all, 2008 Pastor's Prayer Team. It's got the church staff on there. Then it's got the ministry directors on there. It's got the deacons and their wives on there. It's got our head usher on there. Lord knows he needs prayer. It's got our school staff as far as paid staff, principals, and teachers. It's got our Sunday school teachers, each class and the teachers. It's got our junior church leaders, the leader of each junior church, children's church. It's got our master's club leaders. It's got our bus captains. It's got our nursing home, each nursing home and the person that's in charge of conducting that nursing home. It's got our soul-winning ministries. It's got our radio broadcasts and the times that they're on. And then one of the things that I'm real excited about, we filled up the rest of this side right here on the back with 2008 Blessed Hope Baptist Church scheduled events. And from January all the way to the end of July, we have everything that's special, every special planned event that's going to happen. You know what I want? I want when we get to... let me pick that one here. When we get to April 20th through the 25th, Spring Revival Evangelist Hightower, I'd like to have already had 4 months of church-wide prayer, support, going up, and has been going up for 4 months in anticipation of that meeting. For 4 months, turning loose 150 to 200 blessed hopers praying for Brother Hightower. I want him to walk in here and say, Brother Jerry, I don't know what's going on around here, but God's been doing some things in my life to get me ready for this, and I sense, folks, listen, we can just keep doing this in the power of flesh if you want. If you're happy with the status quo, we can keep doing it the way we are. Or in 2008, we can say this is going to be the year of prayer. This is going to be the year of prayer when Brother Phil Gabbert comes. I think he's coming. Evangelist Phil Gabbert is going to come in April and be with us Sunday. He's the guy that does the chalk art. Remember him from our... He was here with us. He's going to spend a Sunday with him. I'd like him to walk in here and say, I never drawed like that before. Draw the word. It is. I just made it up. It's a word. You mean it's not a word? Of course it's a word. If you're a Southern Indiana preacher preaching to Southern Indiana people, you got to speak their language. Amen. So this is for our any young person 12 years old and older, every adult, please take one of these. Now, if you're going to use it, you've got to put it somewhere where you're going to have access to it. Whatever Bible you use for morning devotions, put this in there. Put that in that Bible. When you get done reading your Bible in the morning, just take this out. I don't care how you do it. Listen, honestly, folks, prayer's a you and God thing. You've got to make some decisions. You may say, Brother Jerry, can I just pray for one side one day and flip it over? I don't care. Would you pray? Just pray. 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 Pray for your preacher. Pray for your preacher. Are you listening to me? Pray for your preacher. I need your prayers. If you want to pray for one side and the other, that's fine, but write my name on the back. I mean that. I've got to have your prayers. I have got to have your prayers. Raise your hand if you haven't got one yet. Okay, they're working towards you. Thank you. I see where we're at. Anybody up here miss one? You're out? You got some back there? Give some extras over to Brother Tim. Raise your hand if you haven't got one. Raise your hand so we can see where you're at. Maybe cut it a little bit close. If we do, if we run out, we can make more. Is that an extra one? Everybody get one? Raise your hand if you haven't got one. Who didn't get one? Okay. Here they come. One thing I've always said about my pastors, they may be slow, but they are unorganized. And that's something I've always been able to say about them. But think about after you've prayed for them for a while, how much more efficient they're going to be. Plus the fact they didn't know I was going to do this to them to the last minute, of course. So thank you very much. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, to grow in this matter of prayer. Thank you for the service we have. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the time we've gotten to spend together. Lord, be with each one as they go to their homes. Thank you, Lord, that we were able to spend some extra time together tonight. Lord, for what we did and what we accomplished, this time was well spent. Lord, may you look down from heaven and say, there is a house of prayer in Jacksonville, Indiana. There's a people of prayer. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord. Work in the hearts of all of us that are men at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Work in our hearts this week. Help us to help each other to grow in this matter of prayer. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.